Good morning. It's good to be out with you. It is a beautiful Sunday morning. No snow, so that's good. It could start snowing at 12. That'll be okay. All right, perfect. So we've got, I think, officially 3 weeks left in this class, including today. So we're very much behind the curve. So we won't, of course, get through 2 Timothy, but I'd like to at least get started before we end this study. And I'd like to apologize beforehand. I'm not feeling that great. I have woke up early this morning with a really bad headache, migraine. But I could not miss a class. I didn't want to miss a class. So we're gonna tough it through. So 1 Timothy chapter 5 is where we're at this morning. So let's turn there. And I saw this quote this morning, kind of about Timothy, and I thought, what an amazing thing. I won't even write it. It says, what a church believes will shape how it lives. And I thought, wow, absolutely, 100%. I think that's probably a theme of Timothy. We look at Timothy and we see the constant emphasis that Paul is putting towards Timothy, the importance of the elders and the members to be a certain way, to act and to conduct themselves a certain way. And 1 Timothy chapter 5, really the main chapter, verses 3 through 16, is talking about widows. And so before we get into that, our memory verse is from the first three verses in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 through 3. And the memory verse is, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity, honor widows who are really widows. And I love that memory verse because it really is pretty simple, because it talks about older men, then younger men, older women, and then younger women. So it really kind of has a nice little layout for us. But the key there in the end is honor widows who are really widows. So that's what we're going to spend our time studying this morning. And so let's look at a few of the verses. If I can get a volunteer to read 4 through 8. Ryan, do you mind reading 4 through 8 for us? Okay.
First Timothy chapter 5, verses 4 through 8.
Yes, please.
But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he is denying the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Perfect. Thank you. So let's look at this. So we're talking about widows, and Paul puts an emphasis in the fact that widows who are really widows. So it kind of lays the groundwork of what we're about to study. And why does Paul say widows who are really widows? What was the problem? He gives some qualifications for a widow to be really a widow, right? Well, what is a widow? Yeah, a husband who's passed, right? That's a pretty simple qualification. If your husband has passed away, that would classify you as a widow. But Paul goes a little bit further and gives us two classifications of widows. And what are the two classifications? That's a part of it. Yeah, so widows indeed and a widow not indeed. All right, so when I say a widow indeed, what are some qualifications that Paul gives us here in 1 Timothy chapter 5?
60 years old.
Okay, 60. Okay, so a widow indeed. So he gives us a number here, right? So that's one. Looking at these first four verses. So it says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. So what is Paul saying here? about widows who have children. So what's the responsibility if a widow has children?
The children should take care of them.
Okay, so it kind of shifts from maybe the widow to the responsibility of the children and grandchildren. And so what is Paul saying here is a responsibility of those who are children and grandchildren? Absolutely. They need to take care of this woman who is their grandmother or mother, right? And then in verse 5 it says, now she who is really a widow. And that's going to kind of be the key here. Now, she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplication, prayers, night and day. So what are we looking for in this widow right here? What is an expectation of her?
She's alone.
She's alone, absolutely, 100%. And why do you say she's alone? That's what it says. Exactly right, right? Let's not deviate from what the scriptures say. What else does it say about this widow here in verse 5?
She's faithful.
She's faithful. In what ways, Dennis? Absolutely. That was the best answer you could have given. In all ways. And what are some examples that are given here in verse 5?
Her hope fixed on God.
Yes, absolutely. Her hope is fixed on God. And then we also get some examples of what she is to be about. And what word really sticks out to you?
Prayer.
Prayer. Right? She is a woman founded in prayer. Because that's important. It's connected to being faithful. You can't deviate being faithful with separating prayer out of the factor. If you were to be faithful, prayer has to be a part of the mix, right? And then in verse 6 it says, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. That's odd. What is this verse saying? I'm sorry? Okay. Yeah, so I think we can put this in both categories. So once again, we talked about, I didn't put it on here. So children, right? So a widow indeed and a widow not indeed would be children or grandchildren. All right, so what do you mean by priorities? What is being talked about specifically here in verse 5 or verse 6? But she who lives in pleasure. What are some possibilities that that could possibly mean?
This world is too important.
Okay, absolutely. So worldly. Worldly, yes, absolutely. What else could it mean? When we see the word pleasure throughout Scripture, what are some of the things that might be implied?
Mine says self-indulgent, and so it's putting yourself before God.
Yes, and I think that's the key. So there are people, that is, I believe, a much better translation, right? Self-indulgent. All right, so there are some people that use this verse to talk about how there are some women that might be doing sexual things or things outside of what they should be doing as Christians, but I don't think that that's necessarily what's being talked about. I think the priority here or the realization is that they are self-indulging, that they are seeking pleasures in this life. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean we're automatically jumping to these particular sins, but the fact is that they're focused on the world instead of focused on God. Any thoughts on that verse? And then in verse 7 it says, and these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So verse 7, what is verse 7 telling us here? What's another classification that we're kind of given here? Blameless. What does it mean to be blameless? Don't say without blame. What does it mean to be blameless? Above reproach. And we see that, we're very familiar with that term. What is that also mentioned of in 1 Timothy? Of the elders. So once again, we talk about those classifications or those qualifications of elders. But really, you can boil that down. And it's a requirement for all of us to be blameless and above reproach. Why would it be important for a widow to be above reproach? Yeah.
I think if you go back to the beginning of the passage that you're looking at here, where he's talking about, you know, the responsibility of us to those that are older than ourselves, to those that are younger than ourselves, and or the same age, whatever. If you look at someone that has reproach and has something you have a fault with, that you that there's a problem with, can they fulfill that first part of the first part of that passage as they kind of connect together a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And what is Paul really challenging the church here at Ephesus to do? To take care of those who really need to be taken care of. But there are qualifications. There are things that that person needs to be doing in their personal life in order to be taken care of. I don't know if that came out as I wanted it to come out. But there's an importance for all of us to live a certain way. And we also need to have confidence that the church is to be, have a purpose in taking care of these widows. And then in verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow, this is a really powerful verse right here in the middle of what's talking about with widows. Have we shifted from widows to somebody else? No, we're still talking about widows, but what are we saying here?
That they should provide for themselves.
Say again?
They should provide for their own.
Okay, they should provide for their own. Okay. What else?
You gotta bring the children into it, because if you raise them as a widow, then they're going to automatically try and take care of them if they can.
Absolutely, right? We look throughout the Old and New Testament, there's an emphasis on honoring your parents. And that doesn't mean just with words. That means with deeds. And there's a responsibility that when your parents or your grandparents age, you have a responsibility to take care of them. So what seemed to be an issue here in the church of Ephesus? They weren't being taken care of for whatever reason. And I can't necessarily say, but what Paul is saying is it is very important that you do this. Because if you don't, what is the consequences? You're worse than an unbeliever. Let's turn to James chapter 1. Just throwing this verse out there. I think it's in James chapter 1, right? At the end of James chapter 1, and it talks about religion. The end of James chapter 1, if anyone, in verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. That's not the verse I was wanting. Oh, there we go. Just be patient, Cody. It's there. It's coming, right? Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep one's own self unspotted from the world. What is this verse telling us that is important? There's a couple of things that's being said here, but what do we need to really pay attention to? Because we're kind of talking about it. Bonnie.
What part of religion for God is taking care of the helpless?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that you said that very well. The helpless. So we are being told here that if we are to be religious, or we to be Christians focused on God, that doesn't mean we just come and show up in a pew. That doesn't mean we come to Bible class twice a week. That means when we leave these buildings, there are actions that indicate that we care. And I think it's fascinating because what a church believes will shape how it lives. If we as a church believe that taking care of widows is important, then guess what? We will take care of those widows who are really indeed. So let's look back at 1 Timothy. Going the wrong way. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And in verse 9 it says, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man. Right? So Patricia told us that we have another qualification, right? To be 60. And what else is said here? The wife of one man. And what is being implied here? Because if she's a widow, she's what?
She's been married.
She's right? And the husband passed for whatever reason, right? But what's being told here is that not unless she has been the wife of one man. So what are some things that we can take from this verse and apply to the context? What is Paul telling us?
No prostitutes?
Yeah, I believe that's what he's telling us. I don't think it's necessarily that extreme, but yes. What else?
Not married multiple times.
And why is that important, Emily?
I don't exactly know why that would, you know, if she had been married twice and both her husbands passed, I don't know why that is a qualification.
So when we look at the qualifications of elders, what is mentioned about elders? Husband of one wife. Right, and so there are people that sometimes think that that means you can only have ever had one wife. But what if that wife has passed? Does that mean they're no longer qualified to remarry, even though Jesus tells us that we can remarry if our wife or husband passes? So what I think is being applied here, and I think that this is more of a culture thing, is that there are times when people would be in relationships they shouldn't be in. And what Paul is saying is that you need to have been married to one man. And if he passed, I don't think this is saying that the widow couldn't remarry. But the importance of not being married multiple times, as in you have a right to one person. And that's who you need to be with. And so we look at this, the rest of this verse after. It says, well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Right? So we see some more qualifications for the widows indeed. And what else are there? Gives us a long list. What are some things that's talked about?
Children.
Children? Okay. And why would children be important, Evadel? Okay, sure, absolutely. What else? What are some other things listed here? Hospitality. I was thinking about spelling that, Valerie, before you said it, so I'm just going to say hosting strangers. I just don't want to butch it, even though I know it's got hospital in it. Hosting strangers. And Valerie, why would that be important?
Shows your love of other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not necessarily all of what we do in this building. It's what we do outside of these four walls. What else is listed here?
Full of good works.
Full of good works? Absolutely. What is implied with that? Patricia? What is Paul looking for?
I don't know exactly, but so it says.
Okay. What would be full of good works meaning?
When she sees a need, she takes care of the need.
Absolutely. Yeah, very, very well said. What are some other things listed here in verse 10?
Well, Cody, before he even went into this country, having a reputation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of good works. And I think, you know, there are things that she needs to do to stay on the list. You know, doesn't use it in present tense. It's things that she's been, that she has a reputation for doing. So I think it's something that, as women, we look at and say, okay, I need to have a reputation for the, you know, as he launches into this list for X, Y, and Z. But I just thought that was interesting that she is known for this.
Yeah, she is known. And it's important, and it's funny because Timothy talks a lot about reputation through his letter. Is reputation important? Absolutely, 100%. And sometimes it's hard because you might get a poor reputation because you're doing the right things. So understanding what that reputation means and what it consists of. I would love to be guilty of a reputation for always doing good things. What an amazing thing. Patricia.
I always want to know about singles like me. I'm 16 years old, but I never had children. I've never had a man. So I always wonder what the scriptures say about people like me.
And that, I want you to hold that. Because Rosa, we're going to talk about that, right? There was something else we were going to talk about. Absolutely. Hold that, Patricia. We're going to get there, okay? What else is listed here? Jared.
I was just going to summarize it. It really is getting down to those who have served others need to be served.
Yeah.
They have a
need. Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. Any other thoughts on what Jared said? Those who have served need to be served when they're in the situation, right? And so let's look a little further. So, but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering, and from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which are not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan. All right, so there's some. So we've kind of shifted, and who are we talking about now? The younger widows, right? And why would it be important for Paul to classify their difference in the younger women, right? He gave an age classification, and what was it for the older women? 60, right? And then he says younger women.
Probably 59 and under.
Okay, 59 and under. Yes, let's put that. 59 and under. That's right. You're 59 and a half, you're out, right? So looking at this, so what are some qualifications or things that these younger women need to be aware of? What are some dangers of younger women being widows? And so my question is, are these younger women qualified to be widows?
Widows indeed.
Widows indeed or widows, right? They're qualified to be widows, but not necessarily widows indeed because, well, they're young. And what are some things that Paul is saying here?
They should remarry.
They should remarry, and why should they remarry? He gives us a list, right? And what are some of the reasons why a younger woman should remarry?
Keep them busy.
Keep them busy? Yeah, that's one. Busy. And by being busy, what are you trying to avoid? What are some dangers or warnings that Paul gives us here?
It talks about idleness, gossip.
Idleness.
Nosy.
Idleness. Busybody, right? Gossip. Why are these listed here? Let's talk about that for a minute.
If the scenario is we're going to put a woman on a list of full-time support because she needs to be taken care of because she's a widow, and if she's young and very capable of doing all manner of good things, that sort of license is a danger, is I think the point.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Any other thoughts on that? Why? Why would Paul... Yes, Valerie.
I think it's kind of a... I'm just looking at that list, and if you get caught up with filling your life with being a busybody and a gossip and being idle and wandering, you do not have the opportunity then to develop all those other qualities that a widow indeed should have of serving others and raising children and having a good reputation.
Very good. I agree. And so Paul tells us the importance of making sure that we are encouraging these younger widows to marry. And Paul puts a lot of emphasis in the role of women. And I do not want to be disrespectful in any way. But one of the main things that God gave women the ability to do was to bear children. To be a support, to be a helpmate to their husbands. And to bear children and to really be a lead in the house as far as what happens on a day-to-day basis. And Paul is telling them they need to learn the importance of this, to grow wonton against Christ. What does that mean, to grow wonton? It's not a Chinese dish, but what is Paul saying to us here? Absolutely. It is easy to get off course. And we need to remind these younger women the importance of this, that they need to desire to be married. And then in verse 12, talking about that condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And really the ultimate warning here is that Paul is wanting and seeing, he must be seeing the dangers of these widows that are younger, that have their husbands have passed, and then they find themselves... What was the thing that you said earlier, Molly? The self...
Oh,
Self-indulgent. They become focused on the things of the world, and it ultimately takes them away from their first love. And so Paul is challenging us the importance that these younger women need to bear children and manage the house and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Yes, Emily.
Well, there's that word again. Blameless.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, kind of tagging on to what Bonnie said, when the church is supporting people who are off living a self-indulgent life or they're off being a busybody, it does cast a reproachful light on the church, because now it looks like the church is funding or backing this type of behavior.
Yeah.
So I think that's why you need to be so careful about who's on this list, because your actions reflect back on the church that's supporting you.
That was exactly what we were going to say next. That was excellent. Yeah, I think that's exactly what Paul is trying to tell us here. And he's trying to remind all of us to know our roles and to make sure that we are living above reproach. Because what we do and what we say doesn't just reflect on who we are, but on what we believe and where we worship and how we practice. Absolutely. And so let's continue here. It says, therefore, or in verse 15, and I think that this verse is important. For some have already turned aside after Satan. And so I imagine Paul is mentioning this, and I would think that some of these members would know exactly who Paul was talking about. That there are people that have already turned aside and are following Satan. And so the danger was real for them. And it should be real for us. The fact is, if there are women who are really in need, then we have a responsibility to take care of them. And so let's finish verse 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So Rosa, you asked me something last week. Do you mind sharing with what you asked me?
I said, this whole what we've been studying here is about widow. What about the widowers that have no family members to help take care of them?
Perfect. So let's talk about that for a minute, because I think it's important. And I think what Patricia talked about was important too. Right? So Paul is talking about in this, about people that really are those who need support. And what are some of the things, if we deviate between the sex of it, what were some of the qualifications that needed to be in order to be taken care of or supported or assisted with? What was Paul looking for? What were some of the most important things that were standing out?
They were servants.
Servants. And they were servants of whom? God. And others. You're exactly right. Okay, what else? Faithful. Okay? So a few more.
Family.
I like how you said that. Thank you. Family and age. Okay? What else? There's a couple more.
Unable to take care of themselves.
Okay. Any others? Okay. Sure. Yeah, you know what? That's going to go with family. We're going to stick that in there because I'm getting arthritis. What else? I think there's a couple more things.
Blameless.
And with that, I was going to write reputation, right? Which is, I think, to be blameless. Any other things that we need to add to the list? Alone. Thank you. I think that's important. Okay, so looking at this, if we were to break this down, and let's take a poll here. Do we believe that this is only strictly talking about women who have lost their husbands? Yes, it is. Because it says so. And Jared, what do you say here?
What do I say?
Yeah, what do you say? Well, you said yes pretty quickly with Patricia.
Yes, because of the exact same thing.
Absolutely. So if we were to look at the context of here, we're talking about honoring widows. Can some of these teachings be implied to other people?
No.
No. And why do you say no, Jared?
Because God has been specific and he's given qualifications and we can't change it. It'd be the same thing as if we went through and said, okay, so here's the qualifications for an elder. Let's go ahead and make women be elders or children if we think they are close to these things. Qualifications, narrow it down, say this is the way it is. But this is a very specific list. This is a list for the church assisting, not us, not individuals.
Perfect, okay. And that's, thank you. So what I want to say here is if we are going to use the scriptures for what they teach, it's talking about honoring widows. Without a doubt, I think that that's what is being taught here. And if we want to use this verse to mean something else, I believe we're violating scripture. What this verse is talking about particularly is widows. So if we are going to be consistent with what we believe, and that is the word of God, we take it in context and we take it in harmony. That means even if it doesn't feel right to us, we still need to take it in context. But what we need to understand here is there is an importance that is deviated here, that the church was to take care of these widows who are really in need. But we talked about earlier about taking care of those who are helpless. And as individuals, we have a responsibility to take care of our members that need assistance. And sometimes that, I see your hand, Gary. And sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we think, well, why can't the church do it? And that's, I think, a slippery slope. Because what scripture tells us is right here, is the church can take care of the widows who are really in need. But I think he tells us throughout this, the importance of individuals taking care of members. Gary.
Galatians 6:10.
Thank you, yeah.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. So we, each individual, have a responsibility. We're supposed to take care of that. That doesn't say, oh, church, you can do that. That's something you can take over for us. It's our responsibility.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Jared.
1 Timothy 5 has been a pivotal passage for me in understanding the difference between individual responsibility and the church's responsibility. It's very different than what I would have done if I was designing the church, and I realized that God's wisdom is better than mine, and he's explained it here, that sometimes when the church does something, if it's beyond what God has asked, it can be interfering with other people's responsibility and hurting their will. It can be harming the person that we're helping. And you haven't gotten to verse 16, but what it also does is it limits the church's ability to do what it's really supposed to be doing. And those three reasons I wouldn't have thought of, but then I realized God's wisdom, and I limit myself then to say, church has to do what God said to do, not what I think it should do. And yeah. There's good reasons for that.
Yeah. And so I completely agree with Gary and Jared. And so what I really think we need to take away here is that we need to look in the mirror and we also need to look outside and see who's really in need. Because I know here that there are a lot that are really in need. And I think a lot of things are done behind the scenes that people don't see. But all of us need to be able to answer for that. And I want to hop to chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, storing up for themselves a good... Actually, verse 18, it says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. And so I want us to think about that as we talk about these widows, the widows in need, and then as we talk about members like George and Patricia and Kristen, right? And so think about our individual responsibilities. And then in verse 16, it says, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. And there's something that really sticks out to me here in this verse. What word sticks out to you?
Believeth.
What was that?
Believeth.
Believeth, okay. What other word? Burdened. The whole emphasis here is that the church won't be burdened. And why is that?
Well, I had a question.
Yes.
In verse 16, my version, and that, so I have New American Standard, and the NIV just says, if any woman who is a believer.
Okay.
I just don't know. And you said any man or woman.
Yeah, that's what my translation. Any other translations there? I didn't even look. I just read my translation and thought it was the only translation. Sorry. Well, I wasn't prepared for that question. Any other translations?
ESV just says woman.
Okay. Interesting. Well, then I'm violating. No, sorry. So if you've got the...
It's the word that's used out. That
yeah.
It's called, and I'll pronounce it wrong, is pistos, which means a person.
Okay.
So you can have a man or a woman that are believers. I think that's really the emphasis he's trying to hit home.
Gary, you need to look for a different word. That one's faith.
Sorry.
Pistos is faith.
Sorry.
That's what I was thinking, but I was going to let Jared tell you you were wrong.
As I recall, this is a passage that's challenging to translate,
true,
if I remember correctly.
Okay. And Ashley.
If we go back to verse 8, it does say there, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, that to me suggests that male and female should provide for their relatives. So that verse 16, the application would not be limited to believing women.
Yeah, that's how I read it. Any other thoughts? Thank you, Ashley. That's exactly, I see that kind of that continuation of, it's a responsibility of us, of you and I. But to not the church not to be burdened, and we think about what's the purpose of the church?
Evangelism.
What was that?
Evangelism.
Evangelism is to preach, to save those who are lost. Absolutely. Any thoughts before we shift to elders here? Any last minute thoughts?
Well, the church is not an unending fund for
everyone. Yeah, and I have to tell you, Evadel, that this is a hard, these are hard verses for people. And because, you know, James talks about widows and those who are in orphans. Right? And we should have a heart for those who are in need. I think that's the whole purpose of being a Christian, is to see those who are in need and to provide that. But we need to separate what the church is and what it does and what us as Christians and as individual members do. And I think that these are hard verses for a lot of people.
Most of the churches on the street do act as welfare agencies.
Yeah.
They just take care of what the Bible says.
And we talked about, you know, these servants, these people that are faithful, family and age, right? This, we should want to take care of that. But if we're going to use the context of what 1 Timothy chapter 5 is talking about, we are talking about whom? Widows indeed, right? Perfect. Okay, so let's look here. Jared, can I get you to read 17 through 21?
The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and his chosen angels, to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality.
Okay, so Nick is like really ready to ring that bell. So everyone look at him in the evil look so he won't ring it quite yet. Okay, so elders, who are we talking about here? Nick, that is rude. That is rude. Could have given me like a 30-second grace period or something. Anyway, so elders, who are we talking about here? Are we talking about elders that were appointed? Or are we talking about older men?
I believe it's elders who are appointed.
Why would you say that?
I believe part of it is because of the role that they are fulfilling. They're ruling well. And then verse 22, I think, is coming back to it about laying hands.
There's another one, so double honor. I was going to throw in there, and then laying hands. Yes, absolutely. So I believe that this is talking, if we look at the context, we're talking about elders, those who have been appointed to shepherd the flock. And so it says here in verse 17, so let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. This is odd to me. What double honor are we talking about?
I think he's paying them.
Okay, well, that's an idea, right? So payment, what else? What are some other things that it could mean? Double honor. Is that it? That's the only one you're going with? Body.
Patricia's right. The first honor is honor is respect.
And okay, respect.
Due the position of their service. But the second honor, the double honor, would be to recompense them for their hard work.
Recompense. Pay. Perfect. Yeah, okay. What else? What else could this mean? Double honor. A way I look at it, and I don't know if this is right, I've always thought maybe, well, they serve God well, and they serve others well. But then there's the rest of the context, right? And it talks to us about double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And then in verse 19 it says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except though from two or three witnesses, right? So talking about the double honor, this will be the last thing we'll talk about in class. I told my wife we were going to get through chapter 6 today. She laughed at me. She's like, you're not even doing a chapter a week. Guys, I'm trying. Snow. So double honor here, right? So the elders, what is being told about them? I think there's a key in verse 7, that they do what? That they rule well. And what does it mean to rule well when we think about eldership? Okay, absolutely. Servant leader. And so Paul is challenging them the importance of ultimately doing what to them? I think Bonnie said it well, recognizing what they're doing and to pay them for that service. We don't pay our elders, we notice, right? Have you ever been in a congregation that pays their elders? Anybody?
Yes, but sort of.
Yes, but sort of.
It's usually when one...
Is it non-tax, like he's under the table? It's no tax forms? I don't understand.
When one of the preachers is also...
Oh, okay. Perfect. Okay. So let's just stay here, and we'll talk about this next week. So think about eldership and the importance of paying them or not paying them. We'll talk about that a little bit, and then we'll get through 2 Timothy chapter 3 next week. Before we close, we like to close with some applications. We don't have a whole lot of time, so what are some three things that we can take away? And I think there's a lot that we could take away this week. What are some three things? Bonnie, or Molly.
As individuals, we need to do our part to take care of those who are helpless as a church for people, too. That's what I would have said anyway.
You two have been working together. Okay, what else?
Families.
Wow. Oh, families. Okay, and what do you mean? How do you do it, Jared?
Well, I make sure that Bonnie's provided for, make sure my parents are provided for. I have a responsibility to all of my family.
Perfect. Were you going to...
Yeah, kind of along those lines. Just I think a lot of times in our society, we tend to, as folks age and they get older, families don't take care of them quite like they used to. They tend to go to assisted living, nursing homes, things like that, when the opportunities for children and grandchildren are there to help care for their family.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I
know.
I think it's something that, personally, I have grandparents that are preparing to move out of their house into assisted living, and it really hit me today. Was like, have I made sure that they're being cared for by our family first? And at least there was an offer, there was something made there that they could live with family rather than having to go somewhere like that.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think those are individual, and sometimes, you know, absolutely. 100%. You're right. We are very fortunate to live in a country where we have those assets. You're right. So a third one, somebody I haven't heard from this morning. I'm going to break that shell and have you come out. Nick's wanting to ring the bell. Nick, get by the button. Hurry. One more.
Give wisdom in God's plan, I guess.
Say again?
The wisdom in God's plan.
Okay. And Brian, how can you apply that this week?
It's not always what I feel is the right thing to do. God's told us what he wants us as individuals and as members of the church. What we need to do as far as taking care of others. It's not always how I feel.
Yeah. That is good. Last thing I'm going to say is that we need to make sure that we are studying the Word of God. And we need to not deviate from the Word of God. We can put what we want to put in it, but then it's not the Word of God. And sometimes that's easy. Sometimes that's a little more difficult. But I think you said it well. It's not what I feel, right? And then Jeff, if you could lead us in a word of prayer. And Nick, then you can ring the bell.
Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come together and study from your word. Thank you for blessing us with your word that we might understand how you want us to live, that we might understand truths about you and about ourselves. Please help us to learn those truths, to apply them to our lives, and to teach them to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.